It's just a little way.
To defeat their enormous armies. Stay there.
Gideon!
Oh, it is my servant, Pura.
Gideon, the Midianites have been going from house to house, stealing the very bread off the tables.
The
is with you, mighty man of valor.
Sir, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say, the Lord has brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?
Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel. I am sending you.
Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my family.
I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man.
If you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it is really the Lord speaking to me. Do not go away until I come back and bring my offering to you.
I will stay here until you return.
Children, come!
Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.
Just this morning, the Lord told me that I had too many men.
What? That's impossible.
According to my infrared heat census mode, Gideon's army currently stands at 32,000 troops.
And Gideon just said, pretty soon, it won't even be that many.
It just seems so impossible.
Gideon, have you gone mad? We need as many men as possible!
Louder than ever!
Romans will serve us best in battle.
The Midianites have thousands. More men, not less.
Listen to me. The Lord went on to say, if all of us fight the alliance of Midian, Amalek, and all the others gathering with them,
the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or
afraid may leave this mountain and go home!
What do you mean?
That means Gideon only has 10,000 men left.
There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not.
Called all his troops to the stream.
It must be some sort of training exercise. I bet it to test his stamina. Maybe he'll have to race across the river and he'll keep the strongest.
Or see who can hold their breath the longest underwater.
Everyone must drink from the stream.
Huh?
Drink from the stream?
Divide the men into two groups. In one, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream.
I do not understand how Gideon is going to determine which men to get rid of based on this test.
300.
What?
Only 300 drank from their hands. God has told me, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home.
What? Only 300?
It's totally impossible for Gideon and 300 men to beat the thousands and thousands of soldiers in that Midianite army.
Not if I can construct a plasma ray with a reinforced gamma blaster from these fig trees. Come on, Chris. You can hold my tape measures.
Ugh.
Gideon, the odds are so much against you.
I must trust that God will show me the way. Though that is often hard for me. It has always been my nature to be uncertain and to think something may not be possible, rather than to believe it is.
Yeah, sometimes I'm the same way.
When God called me to drive the Midianites from our land, I needed a lot of assurance. And this is how I found it.
I don't understand. You became certain you could lead an army because of a piece of wool?
No. I learned to trust in God because of it. I said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, look, I will put out a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand. And it happened when I came.
came the next morning, the ground was dry, but the fleece was wet with dew. I still have questions.
Do not be angry with me, but let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew.
So that night, the fleece was dry, but there was dew on the ground. So I keep this as a reminder of God's promise that He will show me the way.
You hold on to it for a while. It will keep you warm.
Now I must prepare 300 men as if they were 30,000.
Arise. Get up. Attack the Midianite camp. I am going to let you defeat them. But if you're still afraid, you and your servant Purah should sneak down to their camp. When you hear what the Midianites are saying, you will be brave enough to attack.
I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley came tumbling down to the Midianite camp. It hit my tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat.
Your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies.
What are we going to do? We must go to commander. If this dream is as you say, we are doomed.
Are you sure your interpretation is true?
When we get to the enemy camp, spread out and surround it. show you the way.
Said, Gideon, we want you to be our king. Then your son and then your grandson will rule.
No, I won't be your king. Only the Lord is your ruler.
Minutes left. Anybody have any comments on any? Have you seen this before, Elijah?
Yeah.
shouldn't.
Gideon, your mom gave you this
I think I would have liked it better if the child subplot wasn't in there. Another thing, though, I don't get why they showed Gideon's want for proof after, like...
It's retrospect.
I don't get why...
It wasn't in order of the way the
story... Yeah, I understand that. But what was the whole offering that...
Oh, the offering?
Yeah.
That was another sign. I mean, we don't need to think of that as a sign that the Lord would be with him, and that he could trust the Lord. And so he took the offering and instantaneously left. But still, God was in communication. The only thing out of the account from chapter 6 and 7 that was left out, and I don't know if it's purposeful in their teaching, the tearing down the veil. But other than that, I thought it pretty well covered everything that we in the adult class have talked about in the last several weeks. Anything else? Any other comments? Did it give you, Dorcas, you had a question last week. How could they carry the torch and the pitcher of the jar and the ram's horn with only two hands? Did it kind of give you a better insight? I mean, I think it makes sense. They have that thing above the torch on which the pitcher can set, and yet it keeps the flame going. So they can hold that in one hand and then take the ram's horn and then blow the ram's horn. Still have a little issue with it. No,
I think about
the
lanterns, too.
Yeah, Any other thoughts or comments? Did you want to go back with your kids, or we can wrap it up here? So I want to have a word of prayer, because I didn't pray in the beginning. We'll have a word of prayer, and then you guys can return to your classroom, and the adults will talk a little bit about what we're going to do next week. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time you've given us, this time we can gather in your name here in this place. We thank you for your word that continues to speak to us and to our lives. Help us to receive that word, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, in a way that's meaningful into living our lives for you. We thank you for this presentation. We hope it pictures for us a little bit better how all this could have happened and the meaning that it brought to Gideon, how God used him, one of the least likely. And so we too, if we feel we have nothing to offer God, that God can still use us, and he wants to use us. So we just pray, Lord, that we're willing servants and that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, who you have given us by faith in Jesus Christ to direct and guide us in our lives. And thank you for everybody that's gathered here this morning. We ask your blessing to fall on everybody that comes into this place this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Reach the back now.
We just have a few minutes left, so let me continue. We have one more chapter to cover on the account of Gideon, and that'll be chapter 8. You have your outline. Basically, I call the first section of this chapter 8, and I like this terminology and something to reflect upon that we might face in our lives too. Gideon finished well, despite the criticism he got. He was exhausted, and all the indifference that came at him. So we'll talk more about that in those first 9 verses of chapter 8 next week, how that all affected. Just reflect on that in our lives, the times we may feel the same way. When we may be constantly feeling the criticism of what we're doing or whatever. But, and I know there's times, probably worse as you get older, because I know I experience the exhaustion thing. You know, you just don't have the energy you used to have. But when we're called by God to do things, we continue to pursue them. And then the indifference that may come at us from the world. And I think that's really, you know, something that we are witnessing today with the Christian, you know, with Christians. The world just totally wants to ignore. Ignore the truth, ignore everything that we stand for. So, and then the rest of the chapter, you know, concludes with the capture of the two Midianite kings. And then it ends with how it all ends with Gideon. He's actually able to be the judge of Israel and maintain peace in the land for 40 years, I believe it is. Yeah, 40 years, which is one of the longer periods for the judges to be. But in the end, and this is another interesting scenario with Gideon, he was disgraced by his descendants.
Wasn't every great hero in the Bible?
Well, to some extent, yeah. But that's, and then the last thing I have on the bullet points at the end of my outline is he was forgotten by his followers. 40 years, and yet the Israelites forgot everything. And so they turned to prostitution, they forgot the Lord and all he had done, and they failed to show kindness to Gideon's family and honor his memory. So it doesn't always end well, but the point is Gideon was faithful to the Lord. And so the Lord used him in a mighty way. So we'll finish up there, and we'll pick up on this next week. Thank you for your patience.